Well, will you turn with me, please, to that passage that we read in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 20. We come to consider what is generally known as the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. It is a parable. As we tell our children in our children's meetings, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It concerns a vineyard, and although Christ doesn't explicitly state this, we gather from the parable, from the things that are said, that it takes place at harvest time, a time of year when many additional labourers are required. I'm sure it happens in this part of the world, I'm sure it happens throughout this country in the agricultural areas, that when the time comes to pick apples or pick the crops, whatever it may be that's grown locally, that the fruit farms will hire casual labourers and perhaps students to help pick the fruit or whatever it may be. And that's the setting of this parable. It's harvest time and labourers are being hired for this special work of gathering in. The labourers would gather in the local marketplace. We read about the marketplace there in verse 3. Standing idle in the marketplace, we read. We read of the marketplace there. They would gather in the marketplace of the town, and the vineyard owners would send their foreman to hire a gang, to hire the gang of labourers for the day. And they would come to the marketplace, they would get a group of men together and agree terms, and then they would go and labour for the day in the vineyard. Now that's the background. In verse 1 we read this, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard." Now the first thing that strikes us as we come to this parable is a surprise. And the surprise is that the vineyard owner himself comes to call labourers together, to gather this gang of labourers together. A man that is an householder. This is the very owner of the vineyard. He's called a householder there in verse 1. It's the same word that's used in verse 11 in the rather quaint expression, the good man of the house. He's called in another part of the parable, the owner. So this is the man who actually owns the vineyard. And yet he comes himself. He comes in person to gather this group of labourers together. He doesn't send a steward, he doesn't send a representative, he comes himself. Maybe we say it was a small vineyard, maybe it was a little place, maybe it was a place where he was the only one who was there, so he had to come himself. No, if we come down to verse 8, we read that when the evening was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the labourers, give them their hire. So we see that he did have servants. He certainly had a steward. One reads from that, and one infers that there were probably others working for him as well. Certainly he could have sent others himself. Now this is a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we'll look into what this means in a moment. Well, this is what happens. He comes down himself to hire these men. It's probably early morning before the day began, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning perhaps. And then in verse 2 we read, when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. A penny a day, a denarius, the Greek currency, a typical day's salary for a typical day's work. He hires a group of men. The wages are agreed up front, a penny a day, and he sends them, and they go off to labour in his vineyard. And then we read in verse 3, he went out about the third hour. Now, this is the 9 o'clock. The time has now moved on to 9 o'clock. The day here, the reckoning begins at 6 o'clock in the morning. So the third hour is 9 o'clock. And he comes down again at 9 o'clock. And he sees others standing idle in the marketplace. And he says to them, go ye also into the vineyard. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. This time, the wages are not stated. He says, whatsoever is right, I will give you. They have to trust the good character of the vineyard owner. They have to trust that he will deal justly and righteously and fairly with them. And a similar thing takes place at midday and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in verse 5. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. So he does the same thing at midday and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. More labourers are gathered, trusting to the goodwill of the master to pay them a fair wage or whatever. And finally, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we read in verse 6, with 1 hour's labour left in the vineyard before reckoning time, before the end of the labouring day, about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. For the fifth time he calls men, and they go and they work in his vineyard for the 1 hour that remains of the day. Now the parable then moves on to the end of the day, when the wages are paid. And we read in verse 8, so when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the labourers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. So now is time to pay the salaries, to pay the wages to these men. Those hired at 5 o'clock come first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. The 5 o'clock labourers receive a tremendously generous payment. They receive an entire day's salary, a whole denarius, even though they have only laboured for 1 hour. And then in verse 10, we infer that others were paid going back through the day, the 11th, then the 9th, and then the 6th, and then the 3rd. And when the first came in verse 10, when those who were hired at the very beginning of the day came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. They're noses put out of joint. They're upset. They grumble and they murmur and they complain. They say in verse 11, well, when they received it, they murmur against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. They're upset. They say, we ought to get more. These men who've just been hired at 5 o'clock, they're getting the same as us who've worked all through the day. And then in verse 13, the master answers. He answers one of them and he said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto these last, even as unto thee. He explains his generosity. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good or generous? And he points out there envy as being the root problem here. Now, we're going to look at this in more detail, Lord willing, as we go through. This is the overall picture. Now, what's the main thrust of this? Well, this parable is a picture of the gospel call. This parable is a picture, first of all, of the gospel call. The householder is God himself. He is God himself calling men and women. This is how we enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is through the call of the gospel. And we see here the preeminent thing at the very head of this parable is the great concern that the Lord God has for the souls of men. It's a work that he performs personally. He comes personally to call labourers to himself. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world physically to be born of a virgin and to call men and women to repentance. But even now, in the preaching of the gospel, it's more than just a man standing in a pulpit. It's more than just a servant of God standing before you and speaking. God himself deals with the hearts of men and women. If all that happens is that a man stands before you and speaks to you, well, that's not the thrust of this gospel. This gospel, this message in this parable is saying, no, God comes. Almighty God will come to you personally and speak to your heart and start to call you and start to deal with you. That's what the true call is all about. There is an outward call. There is an outward call that I can give. I can speak the words of invitation of Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. That's the outward call. I can announce it. I can speak to everybody in this room. But many might reject it. Many might turn away from that call. But one person might start to listen. And might start to attend. And might take it seriously. And might respond. And we say, why has that person responded, but that person not responded? And the answer is, well, because God himself, in the terms of this parable, comes to that person and deals with them, and opens their ears so that they hear this gospel call. And it's a very gracious work of God. He comes and he deals with us. Now this is surprising, because we tend to think that God himself, like this vineyard owner, might be imagined to be a man way up in a vineyard far away, some distant place that we've never been to, we've never seen before now. A God not really interested in us. This parable reveals something quite different. That God is interested. That he stoops down. That he comes to us. That he is a personal God. That he deals with sinners. That he is a God that we can relate to. That we can hear. That will speak to us. Who will call us. Who will bless us. That's what this parable first teaches at the very beginning. A God full of concern and pity for the souls of men and women. But then this parable also teaches us the state of our souls before God calls us. We are outside the kingdom of God. We are, in the sense used here, in the marketplace. We are in the marketplace of this world. The marketplace of this world, outside the kingdom of God. There is a vineyard somewhere. There is an owner. There is a foreman, there are regular workers, but you see, they are another place. We are divorced from them, we are separate from them. In the parable, these labourers are standing in the marketplace. Every time the owner comes to them, he is spoken of as going out. It says he went out early to where they were. It says that he went out about the third hour. It says he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour. About the 11th hour, he went out. You see, these men are outside the vineyard. And that's where we are, by nature. We are outside the kingdom of God. There is a whole spiritual realm. There is God Almighty. There are people who love to serve him, who have died and have gone to glory. There are the angels in glory. There is, on this earth, those who truly know him and truly love him and truly serve him. But we're not born like that. We're born in darkness. We're born rebels against God. And we must come into the kingdom. We must enter the kingdom. We must be born again. We must be brought in a wonderful way to know him. And that's what this gospel call does. This gospel call summons us and brings us to know him. In fact, the state of nature really is that we do not want to know him. You see, these men who are depicted here, these men didn't go knocking on the owner's door. They didn't say, let's find that great and wonderful vineyard and let's get some employment there. They're described as idle. They had no interest whatsoever in going and finding out where this vineyard was. The vineyard owner had to come to them and summons them. And that's like us with God. We don't really want to serve God. We don't really want to serve the Lord. We are happy in living our lives away from him. Incidentally, when it says that we are idle, it doesn't mean that every single man, woman and child is born lazy and full of lethargy. You can be the busiest person in Suffolk. But until you come into the kingdom of God, you're not contributing to God's cause. You're not serving God. You're serving your own dimensions. You're serving a life away from God. And that's the picture here. Outside of the vineyard, not serving the Lord. And not wanting to serve the Lord. Wanting to serve other things. Being busy perhaps about other activities, but not about God. So this is the natural heart of man, naturally set against God and his ways, cold, hostile to the Lord. And yet in his mercy, the Lord God takes the initiative and he comes seeking after us. And when you come to know the Lord, as we pray every single man, woman, boy and girl in this room will do, when you come to know the Lord, you will rejoice and say, he sought me ere I found him. He came and sought me when I had no time for him, because left to myself, I wouldn't ever have sought him. But what is this gospel call? Let's think a little bit about this. What is this gospel call that we've talked about? We've spoken about it. Let's think about it in a little more detail. What is it in the terms of this parable? Now, the gospel call is a call to men and women to come to Christ for pardon and for forgiveness. And that's the great message of the gospel. That's the message that I'm sure is often trumpeted out from this pulpit, as in many pulpits up and down this land, how Christ can pardon and forgive our sins and make us new people. That's the great heart of the gospel. But this parable, it's not the focus of this parable. This parable takes a slightly different line, and it emphasizes something somewhat different. And we're going to concentrate on the focus of this parable. This parable, because there's different dimensions to the gospel call. It's often been said that you can't have Christ as Saviour without having him as Lord and Master. And the focus of this parable is upon having Christ as Lord and Master. Not to say you don't have him as Saviour, but you have to take both offices of Christ. You see, it's a summons. This gospel, in this parable, the gospel call is represented as a summons to labour for God, to labour for him in his vineyard for the brief term of our lives. It's a call to serve God. It's a call to serve God and to give ourselves up wholly to him. You see, the call here to these men is to come and serve this vineyard owner for this day, for this period of time. It's a hire for a day. Come and serve me for this day, is what is said. They're not going to be permitted to moonlight. They're not going to be permitted to take a half hour off to go and help their brother with some decorating or something like that. They have to spend the whole day in the vineyard labouring for the Master. And God calls us to give ourselves wholly to him, to yield ourselves up wholly and exclusively to serve him. We must cease from the service of sin. We must cease from the service of this world and our pleasures. And we submit to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his rule and to his ways. That's the picture of this gospel call that's given to us in this parable. Now, the labourers knew that this work was going to be hard. They knew that it was going to be arduous. In verse 12, those who complain at the end of the parable speak in these terms. They say, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. So this work was going to be hot. It was going to be tiring. It was going to be sweaty. It's going to be difficult. The blazing sun was going to beat down upon them. And there was a spiritual lesson in this for us. Well, the spiritual lesson is this. It is that it's not easy to serve God in this world. It's not easy being a servant of Christ in the middle of this earth. Serving Christ, being a Christian, isn't an easy option, dear friend. It's not that there's anything wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You need have no worries or fears on that score. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most marvellous master any man could want. In the picture of this vineyard, we have the most glorious vineyard owner imaginable. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ is to serve the most glorious being in the whole universe. So there's nothing wrong on that score. And he will help us and he will strengthen us and he will bless us. But no, the hardships come from the surroundings in which we live, the environment in which we're called to labour. Because this world is against God. This world has set itself against Christ and against his dominion and against his rule. And when we come to know the Lord, we become his representative in a hostile world. And that's where the hardships come from. And this is what the gospel call is. It's a call to come to Christ and then to represent him in a world which is alien, in a world which is hostile, in a world which is against God. And it's a call as well to go through this life carrying the remaining burden of a sinful heart, which is perhaps where our greatest struggles are. Because you're not made instantly pure and holy, and you will be called to a constant battle against sin and against temptation throughout this life. The Lord Jesus likened it to a narrow way. He likened it to a difficult pathway. And a true gospel preacher will not hide those things from you. I'm not going to paint you a wonderful picture of a totally rosy pathway where everything is wonderful if you become a Christian. No, there are these hardships and there are these glorious things. But I want you to note that in this parable, no one ever refused the gospel call. And that's the marvellous thing. When God calls us, he so moves us and he so opens our eyes to the realities of things that we become willing to accept even the hardest of burdens for the glorious privilege of knowing Christ and of serving him and of living for him in this world. And there is no higher privilege than serving this master. So it's a glorious call. It's a wonderful call. It's a marvellous call. Everything else pales into insignificance. Even the hardships and the difficulties compared with the wonder of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what this gospel call is all about. But I want you to notice another thing. And really we're moving more into the heart of this parable now. And what is particularly distinctive about it. When God calls us, he holds out the promise of a reward. And in this parable, this reward is a very prominent thing. It's crucial to our understanding of the parable. In verse 1, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Hire, the word is the usual word there for salaried employment. And in verse 2, as we saw, he agrees with the labourers for a penny a day. A penny a day. These labourers had the prospect of a reward. Now, for the 6 o'clock labourers, it was explicitly stated, this penny a day. For the other labourers, all the way through, they had to trust to the generosity and the wisdom of the vineyard owner to give them what was right. But in each case, there is the expectation of a reward for the labourers. A return of some kind of recompense which will make up for all the hardship and all the difficulties that they have. Now, what's the application? What's the lesson for us here? Well, the lesson is this, that God gives a great reward to those who serve him. God gives a great reward and he promises a great reward. And the gospel call, when the gospel call comes to us, the gospel promises us great and wonderful blessings, tremendous blessings, pardon for sin. The gospel call promises complete pardon for sin, for every sin, blotted out from the sight of God, so that you stand before him pure and white and holy. He promises eternal happiness, happiness forevermore. Not necessarily completely in this life, but certainly when you die, and yet even in this life, a joy and a peace that the world can know nothing of. Those are promises that God gives to us under the terms of the gospel. A new heart. God promises under the gospel to change us on the inside, to make us new people, to give us new principles and new desires, to change our focus and our direction in life. These are part of the things that God blesses us with under the gospel. God promises us under the terms of the gospel that we will know him That we will have a living relationship with God. That God won't be somebody far and distant. We will know him. More specifically, we will know the Lord Jesus Christ. We will know that when he died on the cross, he died for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. We will know those things as our own personal blessed experience. God promises us the Spirit of God to come and dwell within us, to help us, to teach us, to comfort us, to guide us. God promises us guidance and direction through life. All these things, blessed, blessed, blessed promises of the gospel. This is the reward that is depicted in this parable. Some of these things we enjoy only in heaven. Some of the things we do enjoy now, all of them we will enjoy in their fullness. We will enjoy in their fullness in heaven. And these things are all stated and formulated in the gospel call, a penny a day, and then he sends them into his vineyard. But now here is the point, and this is the heart of the parable. We've come now to the real crux. The heart of the parable is this, dear friend, and you must understand this. We must never, ever, ever imagine that these rewards are earned or are merited by us. This is the central point. God calls us to serve him here. And he will give us great rewards. But it won't be a quid pro quo basis. It won't be that I will pay you these things because you have earned them by living for me for 20, 50, 40, 70 years, whatever it may be. It's not given to us because we merit them. There is no merit in the gospel on the human side. He doesn't give them to us because we earn them or we deserve them. Just suppose he did. Just suppose that heaven and all the blessings of the gospel were earned things, that we do something to earn them and merit them from the hand of God. Just suppose that was the case. Then I'll tell you what, in that case, these first hour workers had a good point. They were right and they were true in what they said. They say, how come you are paying us a denarius a day, whereas you have paid those at the 11th hour a denarius a day? Their point would be right. It was grossly unfair if this was a merit of, well, I've laboured and I earn so much. If it was given by merit, then those from the first call merited more than those from the last call. But you see, the point of the gospel is that's not the way the gospel works. It's not given by merit. These men had this mercenary outlook, didn't they? They said, we have worked harder and longer and therefore we deserve more. Now maybe that might hold true in earthly employment, but not in our spiritual, not in the gospel call. In verse 14, this vineyard owner says, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. I will give. That's the gospel, friends. I will give. All the blessings of salvation are gifts. They are three gifts of God to a soul. He gives to men the gift of God. He gives pardon. He gives forgiveness. He gives heaven. He gives eternal happiness. He gives the adoption of sonship. They're not merited. They're not earned. They're free gifts of God. And this is what we call grace. This is grace. Grace is God giving without us earning at all. The gifts of God. He gives pardon, forgiveness, and so forth. In verse 15, he says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? It's the goodness of God. It's the free generosity of God. Giving to those who don't deserve. All of the blessings of the gospel, all those wonderful things that I've tried to list before you this afternoon, they come from the free gift of a good and a gracious God, pouring out blessings upon those who deserve the entire opposite. I will give. God is a giving God. And the idea here is that man has no right or claim upon God. He cannot turn up to God and say, Lord, I will labour for so many hours if you give me that. No, we deserve nothing from God. We are outside his kingdom. We are his enemies. We are hostile against him. But God will give us the blessings and the pardon to all those who hear the gospel call, to all those who will understand and by his grace and mercy enter in. You will never find a master like God. He is so gracious and so kind. But friends, you must get all idea of earning and meriting out of your mind. That drives so many totally away into a false religion. The gospel of the Bible is totally opposed to human merit. Men deserve nothing but damnation. Pardon and forgiveness are the free gifts of a gracious and a merciful God. That's the thrust of this parable. And I believe that in saying this, I've fairly represented the basic teaching of this parable. But I want to take a few minutes before we close just to highlight one other thought that is there in this parable. This parable deals with people being called at various different times of day. 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And down through the years, preachers have often seen in this parable a picture of the human life. And I want to take through us briefly this parable in just a couple of minutes as a picture of the human life. It's a day. A brief time. Friends, our lives are brief. Our lives will soon be over. We begin life outside of God's kingdom, outside of God's vineyard. We begin with no relationship to him, but God graciously comes and calls us, and he approaches us throughout our lives. He comes and he calls us to serve him, to take the burden upon us, to submit to him as our Lord and our Saviour. Now for some, this call comes in our childhood. For some, he comes to us in our middle years. For some, he comes to us and he calls us in our old age. But until that call comes to us, we are idle. We are outside of his vineyards. Our lives are unproductive. And we're not serving him. And we go through this life without him. But without a relationship with God, all will end in disaster. It will all be swept away at death. You see, an evening is coming. The end of our lives is coming soon. And through our lives, at different times, the gospel call comes to us. And our prayer is that God would effectively call each one here into his kingdom before the end comes and is everlastingly too late. Now, some are called in childhood. These are the 6 o'clock ones. Some are called in very early years, while the freshness of youth is still upon them. And it's a wonderful thing to become a Christian when you're young. It's a wonderful thing to be called to Christ while you're yet a child. The whole of your life is still before you. You've got a whole life to give to God and to serve God with. You haven't given your best years to the devil. Teenage years are so dangerous. There are so many temptations. You can take your teenage years and you can squander them and you can waste them and you can spend them on yourself, on sin. Far better that even from the very earliest years you will be consecrated to serve God, knowing him and having that blessing upon you and strength, strong to serve him. The Saviour calls children. The Saviour calls young people to him. Will you hear his call this day? Will you hear him as he comes to the 6 o'clock ones in this congregation this morning or this evening? This afternoon even, and calls you to himself. Some are past childhood. Some are called in the third hour, the 9 o'clock ones, perhaps in their 20s, perhaps in their 30s. Mr. Spurgeon has a sermon that's called From 25 to 35, based on this verse. Maybe that's a bit too specific. But nevertheless, the Lord comes and he calls some who have passed the freshness of youth. You've given your early years to the devil, but still he comes to you. And he calls you, and he summons you. Maybe by now you've developed habits of idleness. Maybe this world has more of a grip upon you, more of a snare upon you. Maybe it's going to be harder for you to knuckle down to work than it was first thing in the morning. Maybe weeds and thorns have started to grow. Maybe there are things in your lives that need to be chased away. Maybe you're reluctant to disentangle yourself from the things that are starting to ensnare you. And yet, well, yet the Saviour comes and He calls you. And yet, so much of the day is ahead of you. To yield to Him and to serve Him and to give Him the remainder, the best part of your life still. And yet, in verse 5, He went out again about the 6th and the 9th hour. These are the mature years. These are the 40 years, 50, 60 year olds. And He calls them. The day is drawing on. Will the Lord call me? Will the Lord really call me when I'm 50 years old and I've given the best part of my life to the service of self and to sin? Surely, we say to ourselves, surely the Lord will have a team in place now. Surely there'll be a team in place in His heavenly vineyards, and He doesn't need me and He doesn't want me. And this world is preoccupied with youth, and we can think the same things about God. Oh, God calls young people to Himself, but old is fogies like me, would He call me? He went out about the 6th and the 9th hour. He calls 40-year-olds. He calls 50-year-olds. Hallelujah. He calls 60-year-olds. He calls those whom the world might put on the scrap heap in employment terms. He still comes to us. And He says, come and labour for me and trust me, and we will get a vast and a glorious and a heavenly reward. The Saviour calls such to Himself as well. God calls you. God calleth yet. At length shall I not hear, we sometimes sing. And then there's the 11th hour. In verse 6, He went out about the 11th hour, and He found others standing idle. And He saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day? Well, these are those in old age. These are perhaps the pensioners among us. He comes and life is drawing to its close. Life is drawing on. Evening is almost upon us, perhaps, in the terms of the parable. The shadows are long, and it won't be long before we pass from earth's day into night. But the Master's voice comes to you this afternoon. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to you, and He issues another call in your hearing. You may say, well, what have I got to give God? What have I got to Him? I've spent my whole life with no interest in the Saviour. What have I got to give to Him? Just a few bare scrap dog ends of my life. Ah, but you're missing out on the grace of God. Oh, the grace of God calls people when they have nothing to give Him, because it's not about what I can give God. God says, I will give you. Grace is God giving, God giving, God giving. To those who can give Him nothing. True, you can give Him nothing. But God is gracious and will give you vastly more than you can ever imagine or long for. He will give you Christ. He will give you hope when you die. He will give you a place in heaven. He will give you peace and joy for the rest of your life and then through eternity. But you have to repent of your sin, because even at the age of 70, you're as big a sinner as you were at the age of 20. And you must turn from your sin. You must repent of it and be sorry for it. Trust in a bleeding and a dying Saviour. Those are the gospel terms. The gospel call doesn't change. God doesn't lower His standards just because you're elderly. Well, you must still submit to His rule. You see, that's the point of the parable. You must still submit to His rule. You must still respond to His call. You must still go and labour for Him in His vineyard. You won't be able to do the things a 20-year-old can do, but your heart can be given to Him. And that's the point of the gospel call in this parable. Whatever stage of life you're at, dear friend, God offers pardon, forgiveness, a new heart, a new life. The terms are simple. The terms are these. Your life has been spent in idleness in the marketplace, away from God, an enemy of God. You must come under His rule. You must submit yourself to Him to rule you and govern you as Lord and Christ. You must place your trust in Him, as they had to trust the Master for a good reward. His promises. You must trust his promises. And all his promises to you are based on the work of Christ, a crucified Saviour. You must come trusting in that alone. The Master was good to all of his promises. He fulfilled every one of them. You will find the Lord God far more reliable than any earthly master. You will find him far more gracious, far more generous than you ever imagined. Well, may each one of us hear his call today and have grace to respond. Amen.